Yeah, thanks for being willing to do this, Thomas. Do you want to share just a little bit about your journey in partnership development? However you want to kind of explain that, but just in terms of your own story over the last few years of trying to build support base, yeah, how's that been?
I appreciate the opportunity to chat about it, Andy. Thank you. So for 7 years, I was a pastor on staff at a rather large Baptist church in North Carolina called Providence. And being just kind of in that environment and situation, there's just different people that you're kind of connected to and keeping up with. But like, you know what it's like to be the pastor of an established thing. So I never really thought in terms of needing to raise money or needing to build a network of people that would pray and financially contribute towards something like a church plant. And when I sensed the Lord calling me into like church planting, this specific vocation for this season, one of the reasons that I was hesitant to say yes and to like really trust God and move forward is I was so scared of the fundraising and the partnership side of it. I never raised any money in my life. I mean, like God, by God's grace, was just in one of those situations to where I just was working for an established church, and it had its own kind of like ways of, people tithing in and giving, and I just never had to think about it. And it brought me to, for the very first time, to a place where I had to like think through like biblically and theologically, what does this look like? And then like practically how to go about executing what I could see there, like from God's word. So that's kind of the background of it. It was when I sensed the Lord was calling us to leading us into London. It was a 2-year season of building a team of people who committed to praying for us and to financially giving towards what we're doing and supporting us. And that fundraising happened through three primary channels. Primarily through churches, then individuals, and we even found some kind of family foundation boards that we were able to get access to as well.
Sure. I guess we probably call them trusts here,
Yeah, trust, I think so.
that kind of line of giving. So in terms, you said about like you had to kind of dig back into like the biblical theological kind of stuff to kind of, I guess, reassure yourself that this is a good thing to do and how to
Yeah.
do it. What did you get from that? What did you kind of come to in terms of convictions that this is the right thing to do rather than some other kind of model?
Yeah, I found a ton of encouragement from Paul. He called himself a tent maker, but at the same time, there seems to be some sort of support that's coming in. He's clearly given out gratitude for people who are graciously supporting him to be about the work of gospel ministry. And if it's not through Paul's life, it was actually through some of Paul's writings where he's coordinating support amongst churches. So I mean, Paul's a pretty good place. He's clearly depending on the generosity of others to do what he does, even though he's hammering some tent pegs. But in addition to that, he was actually coordinating generosity amongst churches. Also, when you're just reading in there, you're noticing all the people that he's thanking as he's concluding these letters. He seems to have this whole network of partners and supporters. Some are praying for him, some are tending to him physically. A whole lot of them seem to be actually just helping pay in to the gospel work through his life. So Paul was a really great place to go. And then there was a particular book, a very slender volume, by a man named Henry Nouwen, Nouwen, and he has a book on fundraising. It's the spirituality of it. It was really just kind of studying Paul, paying attention to how he lived and what he was coordinating, noticing all the people piled up in his letters, and that one volume through Henry Nouwen, and one more book called The God Ask. That was a little more on fundraising than partnership, and they're related but different. Those were the big things that God used to just settle and create a sense of confidence. Okay, like this is how he chooses to grow his church and spread his glory among the nations by people going to other people in humility and just saying, hey, like, this is what the Lord's laid on my heart. I just wonder if you'd be invested in buying in and being a part of this story as well.
That's great. So I've seen that pamphlet, as you say, or that kind of short book that we can give a link to as well. But just kind of that issue, you said there's a slight distinction between partnership and fundraising. What do you understand by a gospel partnership? And how does that kind of split out from fundraising specifically?
Yeah, I mean, to me, fundraising kind of might carry the connotations or implications of, look, I have this thing that I'm going to go do. I just need your money to help me go accomplish this thing over here. I mean, look, there's some people out there, apparently they make so much money a year, they just need things to throw their money at. I just didn't have access to many of those people. What I could find was people that did believe in God, and they wanted to participate in the Great Commission. They were just looking for an outlet. And by being able to cultivate a partnership with people, it was really this understanding. It's like, look, we're all equal partakers in the Great Commission. So God's laid it on my heart to go to this neighborhood and to be about this work. You might not be called to that neighborhood, but you're still called to be a part of this work. And it was being able to work out and understanding where it's like, look, if you pray for me and help pay for me, I'll go over here and do this. And whatever happens, we share in these fruits together. Mm-hmm. So it does mean I spend portions of my time actually keeping up with the different people that do write checks for me to be here and for me to be praying and studying the word and sharing the gospel. But I actually think that's part of my ministry. Yes, it's to these people in this neighborhood, but it's also discipleship for these other people that they're choosing to invest in the kingdom and they're choosing to invest in church planting. Part of discipleship, even leadership in their life, is sharing the story of what God's doing through their prayer and kindness and generosity. And I'm able to see how God's actually bringing people along. Some people fall off. They can't support you forever. Others are led by the Spirit to come in with more over time. At least that's been some of my experience.
Yeah, I can resonate with that completely. You know, that and you see, like you say, in Paul's letters a lot as well, don't you? That is not just that he's getting some pay in and he's sending out a kind of a letter every few months. It's like there's obviously warm relationships with a load of people in lots of different complicated ways, and he loves sending news to people and receiving news, and there's a real fellowship together. Just in terms of, you were saying the kind of the practicalities as well of, like, how did you go about starting to kind of build that kind of team, that kind of base? You obviously had a number of relationships already, What did it look like to actually start to, I think you mentioned churches, individuals and trusts. How did you actually kind of go about building that kind of team?
Yeah, I mean, when we think about it, I mean, it's almost given me nerves again, just thinking through like the enormity of like what God's called us all to. But man, it's not to be cliche about it, but like, man, the journey of 1,000 miles, it does begin with one step. So it's about going to those few people we know and we do have some trust and relationship with and sharing what's going on. So for me, it was actually going to a few individuals, and I was actually able to find a bit of like a core team amongst them where they were willing to be advocates for the cause. And it was actually getting them together for a lunch and just sharing with them, guys, this is what God's put on my heart. I have no idea. I have no idea how these bills are going to get paid. But look, you're a businessman. Like, she's a lawyer. Can you guys actually like work with me and help and even figure out like how we could coordinate some information here? So it's part of it for me is finding those high capacity people and putting their skills to work for the sake of the kingdom. So there's people that can organize meetings and different like events and nights and in ways that's just different. Now that felt like a bit of a rare case to be able to find those people. And while working through them was helpful to getting access to a few of these like trusts, the majority of the work came through just working through somebody I know, sat down for a coffee, shared the story, shared what God put in my heart, and inviting them into this gospel partnership together. And in that conversation, as I'm inviting them to pray for me, and I'm inviting them to consider what it'd be like for them to give financially and generously to be in a part of this, I would ask them for their friends. So in every single conversation I had, and man, sometimes we just hate doing it because it's like getting into it with people a little bit. I asked every single person if they could think of three friends that I could have this conversation with as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you think about it, all you need is about 1 to 3 people to start with. If you got 1 to 3 people that can believe in what God wants to do through your life for some reason, they might have 1 to 3 people they could put you onto. They might have 1 to 3 people they could put you onto. And then honestly, it was a commitment for just a season of my life, kind of slipping out of the house early before the kids got up, or even going out after dinner time or after bedtime, just sit with people and have multiple cups of coffee just to talk and have this conversation. But that's what God used. He used one of his children, humbly sharing a story, inviting people into partnership, and inviting people to invite other people in. Mm-hmm. And that had a multiplicative effect over time.
That's really helpful. I just want to kind of pull a few things out of that. You had them, you invited people to pray. You invited people to consider giving towards it. I think that's quite an interesting kind of, to invite someone to consider it's a little bit stronger than just here, have a look at this and think about it in this kind of, you are actually asking them to do something, but it's a little bit less pushy than saying, I'm asking you to give, isn't it? I'm asking you to consider, go away, pray about it.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful. You ask people to recommend some friends. You mentioned about sharing the vision as well. I suspect, I don't know, you come across as somebody who's able to do that very naturally, but maybe that took a bit of sort of shaping and honing. What did that actually look like to share your vision? Did it look different with different people? Was that quite a hard thing to kind of really nail down for people?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like pitching the vision, so to speak, in my experience, is something that you figure out every time you do it. So like you're literally like sitting with people, armpits sweating, nervous as can be, having a coffee, like you're kind of getting ready to ask your like childhood friend to consider sending some cash your way. And as the nerves are kind of building in that moment, when you're like sharing what God's put on your heart, to me, it actually gets refined the more times you talk about it. The more times I sit here and I share, I actually even figure out what it is that I'm trying to talk about. So that was really helpful. And I wish somebody would have just told me that. So the more times you have the conversation, the more times you stumble forward, the better you'll get. And there is a natural refining that happens over time. Like, frankly, it makes you look at kind of the first, you know, 5, 10, and 15 times you had the conversation. It's like, how did God do anything good out of there? Like, I was scared. I was nervous. I wasn't really like confident that this is what God has. But God uses all of it. And God used that very process to like refine me and to refine my focus. Cool. Another thing is, if you don't even have like a really clear vision, what was helpful for times for me is just sharing the need and saying, look, God's leading me to the need. And together in partnership, we will work on this need together. Mm. I think people are understanding, especially those we have some sort of relationship and trust with. They think, I don't know what that's like. Frankly, that sounds harder than my lot in my situation. So yeah, you move towards that. Here's a little money to get you there. I will pray for you. Let me know how that goes.
Mm.
That was helpful.
Yeah, that's helpful. And you mentioned, that's really helpful just to mention about the humility, the humbling nature of that and the sweaty armpits and stuff. I mean, there is a sense of kind of pushing through the pain barrier, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Did you have to kind of wrestle with your heart a bit in terms of just kind of getting out the door and having another coffee? Or was there kind of a sense in which the more you did it, you felt a bit more comfortable?
I was really uncomfortable and I was really uneasy to start. And at the same time, as you're in that conversation and God has called you to it, and this is what God wants, and this is how God is committed to advancing his glory among the nations, that confidence starts to build. And it's not like, man, praise God, I get to have 20 more conversations this week. Like I get to almost throw up 20 different times asking people for money. I never got there. But it's simply part of advancing the mission. Mm-hmm. It's part of seeing God's glory spread among the nations. It's discipleship. And frankly, what it really did for me was it actually worked on my own understanding of money. It actually worked on my own understanding of wealth and generosity. I actually found my own theology being really worked out. And having to sit with people and have those conversations, it really shifted my trust from financial, like the power of the pound, to an almighty God in heaven who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And it's just his image bearers that put fences around it and act like it belongs to us. But it's actually about really trusting in him. So over time, that was the main shift for me. Like personally, just trusting in the pound less and trusting in my King in heaven more, that he could work any person I sat across to accomplish his mission. And you're thinking, yeah, like, man, he did lead his children to plunder the Egyptians. How much more can he use like well-meaning churchmen and churchwomen who want to be a part of this, but so many times they just need to be invited in.
That's so helpful. Thank you. Thanks, Thomas. Just lastly, I wonder if you could just share a little bit of what it looks like to actually kind of build and develop those relationships, because I think you mentioned that you came to see this as part of your ministry. This is not a kind of a distraction from ministry. This is actually part-time ministry, and these are actually other brothers and sisters that I'm building gospel relationships with. So what does it actually kind of look like on a sort of kind of monthly basis?
Yeah, I mean, this is where my church planning coach might get on to me a little bit. It's about, you know, it's all about where we're having to spend our time and our prayer. But ministry runs on many tracks, and one of them is a financial track. We just need people praying, and we need people continuing to funnel money into it, right? So from month to month, what it looks like for me is use social media in a strategic fashion. Now, it's not performative, though it could become that at times in my life. It honestly has. But it's trying to like use whatever you can use and whatever works for your personality and your cultural makeup. For me, it was leveraging social media to share a story. So in that 2-year period that God was calling us, I mean, just sharing, like, this is where we are. This is what we need. We're praying for this. And it's amazing how many times God used those opportunities for people to jump in and say, I didn't know that was a need. Yeah, count my family in for that. We'd love to be a part. Another thing, and this is not going to work for all personalities. This will not work for all cultures. Our family started a little family blog where, you know, once every week or two, we just put a little update and we're just like, look, this is what God's laid on our heart. This is where we want to go and what we want to do. And we're just going to just share the story. Again, there's different personalities and cultures involved in hearing this, and that's just not going to be right for everybody. But that will ring true for some people. And what we found over time, some social media and a blog, it actually allowed multiple people to connect with what we're doing that wasn't me having to sit down and be on the phone or like send an email or a text message. Mm-hmm. Where things work best is just a little text message every once in a while. Hey, just want you to know it's Easter week. The team, we're out in the neighborhood. We just dropped 20,000 copies of the Gospel of Mark through doors. And you just like have a picture in front of like some random house. Thank you so much for helping make this happen. You know, man, people appreciate that. Like, I think that's some of what Paul was essentially doing in an updated sense, and just like hollering at the people in the next town. Thank you guys so much for helping out over here. You guys are a real blessing. Man, just a little photo of an activity, a little text message, send that around to a few people. People want to be appreciated, and they want to know like their financial generosity is making an impact in some way. So in different seasons, in different times of the year, I do steal away and send some emails, send some text messages, update the social media. To me, it's just figuring out how can we leverage technology for the Great Commission. So these are all assets and tools God's given us. They can be used for a whole lot of terrible things. We can waste our time on socials. We can waste our time and energy worrying about and being envious of other people. Or by God's grace and for God's glory, we can actually leverage these tools to be ways of telling people what's going on with the gospel and how the kingdom's advancing. And imperfectly, that's what I'm trying to do with it.
Thanks, Thomas. That's great.